Hey everyone, and welcome to Journey to the West. We're here today with just me, Jay, and Sen, and we're going to talk about the Crazy Rich Asians film that just came out, since we're the only two who saw it, and we'd like to give you a proper review and critique.
Hi everyone, I'm Sen. V didn't feel like watching it, as you may have heard in like the last two podcasts ago, because she didn't really like the book. She did read it, and she just didn't feel like this was a movie for her. And I guess like all of us have kind of gripes about some of the actors, but we'll get into that a bit later.
So we'd like to start with our viewing experience, basically how it was like to be in the theater and see how other people around us were reacting. So for me, I felt like the theater that I went to, there were pockets of Asians and pockets of white people. I couldn't really tell who else was in there because it was pretty dark. But yeah, it was cool to hear that pretty much everybody had the appropriate reactions to things in the film. Like when it was supposed to be funny, they laughed and people were touched at the appropriate moments. Something cool that I heard was like an audible gasp when some guys took their shirts off and were being thirst traps, which was a surprise to me. But that was adorable. And yeah, there are definitely parts where Asians who understood certain references could get it, and they laughed at certain points. We're like, oh, that was a burn. So that was cool to hear that it actually resonated with people, even if you don't necessarily expect them to relate.
I didn't feel like the film tried hard at all to cater to a white audience. I felt like they did really like write the film, direct it, and present it in a way where it was for Asian diaspora to enjoy. And while watching it, you know, because white people are extra and they're like, they're very like vocal about their reactions, especially in a theater. There were definitely like times where they were laughing. There, I definitely heard some older white women cracking up a lot, which was good to hear. So I think that the most of the jokes they attempted landed, you know, in my theater. I was definitely one of those like robotic figures. I didn't really laugh. It's not that I didn't find it funny. It's just kind of like, eh, I guess that's funny. I mean, I did, like, the more emotional, like, sad parts, I felt, I internalized and I felt really empathetic and sad at those points. Yeah. Like, it definitely did emotionally affect me in that way. So it wasn't like I didn't feel anything. But, the humor was kind of meh for me. But, yeah, I think people enjoyed it. My theater was, I think there were like a lot of Asians, but there was also a lot of white people as well. Mm-hmm. Actually really interesting. Before like the movie show, there was a few ads, and there was actually an Australian film which had like a very similar premise to this. It was like about an Aussie woman going to Italy, getting married to some Italian man. And I'm like, huh, so there's like a similar movie coming out. I just found that kind of interesting, but anyway, I think I did notice one joke that didn't land for the white people was when there's a part where, I forget who it was, but they were criticizing, like, oh, white people don't give a shit about their families, they only give a shit about themselves, and I just found it really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And, like obviously the white people.
Oh, it was something like, that's why they put them in nursing homes when they're older, because they don't care about their families.
I know, I was laughing because my mom says it all the time. She's like, don't put me in a nursing home like those white people, like those white people that give a shit, they don't even love their parents. I found that really funny.
Yeah, that's definitely something that like we would only get,
yeah, or we would only laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
I just, yeah, that was really funny to me. That was my favorite joke in that. I'm trying to think of any other things notable. Definitely not like the audible gasp thing that happened with like the shirtless man. I'm sure people enjoyed it. Let's not pretend that people didn't enjoy it. there was a definite scene with like Astrid's like husband, like his introduction, where it was just like this very like lingering take on his torso.
It was like a gratuitous shower scene. Like we cut to his naked body covered in water. And like they didn't have to do that. They could have spent like 2 seconds on it and he's out, because we're just supposed to show that he's home and that he's the husband. But I think it's like a minute of him just washing yeah. himself, and like it pans over his muscles.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not
thirst trap.
They do that with like the fucking white men all the time. Like it's about time we saw like Asian men like that.
That was really nice. If you're into guys, there is no way that you will not enjoy that scene.
Yeah, men, Asian men need some more objectification, just a little bit more. I'm glad they didn't do that with the women, because I would have felt that was really, would have been kind of gross.
Like gross, yeah. Yeah, I didn't get any hypersexualization vibe at all, which is great.
Do we want to talk about like our general thoughts about the film?
So, like, at least for me, and I saw it with my boyfriend, so we had a discussion afterwards, as you do. And even he was a little mind blown, like cognitive dissonance, that this was actually not as problematic, or like not in the ways that we had both assumed that it would be, or were afraid that it would be. Because it seemed like they tried really hard to tailor the narrative so that it didn't put out like overtly negative things out there, at least about Asian Americans or Asian diaspora, and including Asian men. I know that there was a lot of controversy about casting half Asians as full Asians, but thinking about it and seeing how universal the story was meant to be, like it's supposed to have universal appeal. So the majority of people watching this aren't going to pick up on that at all. They're going to see half Asians as Asian anyway. So that doesn't really matter on the surface level. I do think it's worth having the discussion about half being half, particularly half white, and that privilege that comes with it. But that's totally separate from like what a general audience would see. So that was interesting. Also, I'm not really into rom-coms. I just feel like they're super tropey and too sweet or too on the nose or too cheesy. But this film felt like it was well made. It felt like it hit all of the notes that you would kind of feel in a rom-com. It gave you that feeling without being gross, if that makes any sense. And I think it also helps that because it's all Asian people, it felt more relatable just because of that. And the story, it wasn't a white story with an Asian skin on it. They actually paid attention to the value of family dynamics that were specific to being or like having that kind of Asian family. And that's relatable for people who understand that, which was cool. I definitely cried a bit at emotional points because I was holding my boyfriend's hand at multiple times, especially the wedding scene and mouthing I love you and all of that, because I'm an emotional person, apparently, at movies. But yeah, it was a really enjoyable film despite all of my apprehensions and my own critiques of it coming into this film. We'll talk more about that later, but for what it was, I think it was successful.
A bit about me. I'm actually kind of into the rom-com thing. Like, I'm into romance and all that. Even, like, the really cheesy shit. It kind of depends. Like, I either really like the played out cheesy stuff, or I either hate it. I don't really know what it is, or like I can't really articulate why I like certain ones and why I don't, but as long as it doesn't feel contrived and it doesn't feel like they're going off some kind of template or checklist, it's fine. And I think that this one didn't. I think it was definitely marketed as a romance film, a chick flick, but watching it, it doesn't feel like it was overly cheesy or overly done. There were definitely parts of the movie that I felt a little bit like weird about with some of the audience responses. Like they would laugh at certain parts that I didn't really get, which we'll go into later. But overall, I really liked it. And I think that because of the length of the story, how much they had to fit in, like I felt like the first like beginning part was a little bit rushed because we didn't really get to establish who the characters were too much. As you were watching it, you had a good idea of who they are and like the relationship they've established. But I felt like they did a good enough job there, especially with the scene with the wedding scene. Like, I think it was a good thing that they slowed down, try to establish that they had like a very deep emotional connection, even if we didn't have enough time to really see it or build up to it. It was definitely, I think it was really well done there, because otherwise, without that scene, it would have felt a little bit, oh, I guess they love each other, but you don't really see it so much. I liked it for what it was. There are parts of it where I'm like, eh, but overall, it's good for me.
And that brings us to another point that I wanted to make. While I didn't necessarily read the book, it is in my household. My boyfriend tried to read it, and he's just not a fan of the writing style or the dialogue, so it was very difficult for him to really get through the first chapter. But having read a summary of what that book is supposed to be, they definitely made a lot of changes. So the tone of the books was supposed to be satirical, and satire doesn't really translate well to film. So they went in a totally different direction. They made it a completely face value kind of thing. And with that, they simplified some stuff, like smushing two characters together to make the friend for Rachel, shifting around some timeline stuff and some details that are just like not necessarily true in the book, but we accept them as true in the film because they changed it to make sure that the narrative was as careful as possible to not spread anything negative. And something that came up recently is that I think it was Constance Wu who convinced John Chu to remove the line in the book that Rachel says that she's not really into Asian guys, but has made an exception for this guy. And while there were some people criticizing that because they felt like we should be honest about this problem, my opinion on that is, considering the reach that this film has, if everybody, especially a bunch of people who aren't a part of our community, see this, I would rather that they not see the internalized racism part, because that's a discussion for us, not for them. I don't want some random white person going up to me and being like, Asian women just love white guys, huh? And like hitting on me even more than they fucking already do. Like, I don't need that shit in my life, and it's none of their business. So I would rather keep that an intra-community discussion and not have us be airing our dirty laundry for everybody to see. Because that's what makes racists happy, basically.
Yeah, and like, this is definitely not the film for that. If we want to have this like deep introspection, like this film about, well, what does it mean to be Asian and blah, 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 this is not it.
Yeah, it's not meant to be that. Would it be great if we could make that and be honest about it? Sure, but it's going to be for us, and it's not going to be a rom-com for sure. So I guess that brings us to our next section, pointing out our critiques or common critiques that people have had of the film. And I will defer to Sen to start.
So the reason why I wasn't like super keen on this film initially was also because like some of the actors are very problematic. I guess this is kind of a scathing thing. For lack of a better term, I would call them sellouts, because Constant Wu, like we've already mentioned before, she had that whole debacle about being okay with being a male order bride on a TV series that they were shopping around for. And she was like, well, as long as I'm getting paid more than the white guy, it's fine. Which I was like, no, that's so fucked. Why would you even want to put that image out there? Especially because Asian women are already seen as, like, I don't know, these women who get with, like, these ugly, white losers. That's definitely not an image I wanted to see on television. Nothing that Asian people want to see. I don't know if white people want to see it other than to laugh at us. So, and then her stuff, the stuff she said at the Women's March, like, she kind of didn't really talk about intersectional feminism in a very in-depth way. Like, she's like, I am a woman, Asian women, but, like, not addressing the issues that pertain to us. So I felt like,
that are specific to us. Yeah.
So I felt like she's a very performative activist. I don't really like her. I think she was fine in the movie, and she's like a good actress in the film. Like, she did portray the character well enough. That's not a complaint from me. To me, it felt like she wasn't as deserving for top billing in this film as some other women would be, or some other no-name actress could have been. Not just her, though. Like, Ken Jeong, who's, like, continuously perpetuated this unique figure in American cinema for a white audience, dancing like a circus animal in these films and acting out these caricatures. I didn't think that he needed to be in this film. I think that the only reason why they put him in here was to put, like, another recognizable face for the audience to relate to. I didn't like him. Jimmy O Yang, like, he portrays this really emasculated, nerdy, socially inept character on, I forget what show he's on, like,
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Silicon Valley. Yeah, that one. It's not just, like, a weird caricature, but it's, like, a, I guess, fresh off the boat, first-gen Asian immigrant coming over and just being very bizarre. I haven't watched the show. I've just seen, like, clips of him. The way he responded to those critiques was, not all Asian men can have a six-pack and be beautiful. Like, just because I'm not, like, a model. And I'm like, that's not the fucking point, bro. Like, no one is sitting here. I'm sure there's people calling you ugly and shit, but it's not because you're not attractive. It's because you perpetuate this, like, gross, you know, image. The way he responded to that critique was pretty dumb. And you also have to, like, realize that if you look at least Hollywood, they always put their most, like, attractive person out. It doesn't even matter if that person is acting out, like, a creepy role or, like, a gross role, or it's still, you still see so many, like, handsome white guys that no one's going to racialize. I think those are the main actors I have issues with. I mean, Awkwafina, I'm not familiar with her work because she's not as well known outside the States, or at least for me, I don't really know her. If it was just a different cast, I probably would have been on board a lot earlier. It's just these people are kind of problematic, in my opinion.
Yeah, problematic is the word. I do think that, speaking especially about Ken Jeong and Jimmy O Yang, it's really hard to argue for them to, like, deflect criticism, because there's a reason that they keep getting those roles and that, like, nobody's casting a conventionally attractive Asian man. And what I feel CRA does solve is that because they add more diverse representation for Asian men, the roles that these guys play are very clearly meant to be ridiculous and not representative of Asian men as a whole. But yeah, it's not just about narrative scarcity. It's because the only roles that Asians can get are for the minstrel show kind of characters. So it'd be cool if they could actually address that, but I don't think that they're self-aware enough to even start. So that was disappointing for me.
Well, they're getting paid. They're getting paid to act like this. They don't give a shit.
Why would they care? And then the whole thing with Awkwafina, like, I'm not too familiar with her, but I've seen some of her music videos. And so she's a rapper. And Awkwafina is her alter ego name. And she definitely uses the black scent. And I know there are people who are trying to defend her, like, oh, she grew up in Queens. She grew up in the whitest part of Queens. In her interviews, she doesn't sound like that. So it definitely feels like a role that she's putting on, which is kind of fucked up. It's not like she absorbed that accent and that's just who she is. She just performs it. I do think that she didn't do it in the film, though, because I didn't hear that in the film. She just sounded like a New Yorker in the film to me.
I don't know how New Yorkers sound, but I think the fact that she was just talking in, I think she kind of exaggerated a little bit, but the fact that she talked like that, I just heard people laughing because she was talking. I think there was like this novelty about this Asian person that had this very like regional accent that people found, you know, funny, which I thought was really weird.
I think it has to do with how we're not really seen as people who belong in whatever country that we are in. So if you have the native accent of that area, people think it's fucking weird. And I guess in your case, funny. Which brings us to the next point. I think there was this scene with the South Asian guards that in your theater got a lot of laughs. And that scene felt really uncomfortable to me.
That was just fucking racist.
It was racist. Because it's like, I mean, they didn't have to be South Asian. Like, I'm sure it's accurate that the servants are Southeast Asian and South Asian, but they didn't have to do it that way, you know? They didn't have to make them the butt of a joke. And they're supposed to look creepy and menacing? Like, what? That was entirely unnecessary.
He didn't look menacing to me. He was just a guard and he was looking through the window at night and people were just like, oh my god. I'm just like, what? I don't know. I just thought that joke was pretty racist.
Mm-hmm. And the whole, like, I know people are talking about, well, of course, this film is not going to represent everybody, blah, blah, blah. But a part of me feels like it would have been better to just not have Southeast Asians and South Asians in this film at all than to have them as servants and guards. Because, yeah, that's all we have.
It feels like there's this awareness, like they live in the peripheral lens of the film and the characters' lives, but like they couldn't even have, say, them having a business meeting with like a South Asian like person or seeing, I don't know, it just felt really weird that they obviously exist, they are part of like Singapore as a country, but it kind of feels like they're in subservient roles. It probably speaks more about the whole, like, class dynamic and, like, race thing over there, which I'm not familiar with. I'm not going to claim to be.
It's just, like, if all you see of the people who represent you is this, that's really bad.
It is.
Yeah, I would just rather they not be in there at all.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Singapore has every right to be mad. Like, I can't speak for them, but there were some scathing reviews of the film that, you know, rightfully said this is not who we are. And granted, there's narrative scarcity, blah, blah, blah. But this film was tailor-made for Western Asians in diaspora. But for Singapore, people have no idea what Singapore is like, really. This is their first glimpse into it. We first heard about Singapore, probably, most of the world, with the Trump-Kim summit. So there's not much that we know about this country and its culture and its dynamics. So to have this film blow up in the way that it did and be the sole global representative of Singapore is an issue, especially if you're Singaporean. So yeah, you have every right to be mad if you're Singaporean.
But yeah, like, what is Singapore really known for in like an international scale? Like, people don't know anything about the country other than maybe the fact that they have very strict laws about, you know, litter or waste and stuff. But like, people don't really know much about Singapore. So to have this is like, you know, they have a right to be concerned. And like, I see a lot of like a lot of fucking those Asian YouTubers or those like second gen mentality of why are they so offended, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, shut up! You're talking about a country that you don't even live in, that you're not even from, that you're not even Singapore, like Singaporean descent, or you know what I mean? Like, why do we have this tendency to just dismiss like these real concerns? You know what I mean? It's really annoying.
Which is sad because, like, you know, the same people saying this shit are the ones who are also rightfully complaining that we're not seen as real Asians. So, like, people always defer to Asians in Asia for the real Asian view on things and dismiss our thoughts and opinions. So don't do the same to them. Like, there has to be mutual respect, and we can at least do that. I mean, I guess the one pro for Singapore is that there's probably going to be a lot of tourism incoming. The tourism board actually was very supportive of the film for that reason. But, I mean, at what cost, basically? So I understand their critiques completely.
Yeah, it was definitely celebrating, like, excess and the rich. So, like, who wants to really celebrate that, you know?
I was actually kind of sad because, like, in the beginning of the film, they and when they first arrive to Singapore, they go to all of these hawker stalls. And it's mentioned that these are the only hawker stalls that earn Michelin stars. And I thought that was really cool. And they were talking with the people running these places that only serve, like, one or two dishes and specialize in them. And I felt like that was the kind of Singapore that I wanted to see. And obviously the film wasn't about that, but I would definitely be interested if somebody wanted to portray that side of Singapore too. Which brings us to our next point. What is the wider impact of this? What does this mean for future films?
Well, you know, you have a lot of the audience already promising that we'll get another movie for like all your other like people that weren't represented. People shouldn't expect that there's going to be this huge cultural shift in like, and that Asians will suddenly have more pride or whatever. I mean, I do hope that those people get their wish in having fully Asian casts with Asian people. That would definitely be a good thing. I'm just very skeptical at this point because people said the same thing about, probably said the same thing about Joy Club, and look where that really went. We had like a dry spell for like 20 odd years. I mean, there'll definitely be like a whole like sequel to this film because, you know, I think it's like a whole like, is it a trilogy of books or four? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, they already greenlit the sequel.
Yeah, so this will definitely be like its own franchise, which, like, I'm sure they're glad because that's what everyone is trying to do these days, trying to push out franchises. But I would like to see a film set in, say, like America or a Western nation, and seeing how Asians like just live their daily life in those countries and have white people in the peripheral vision but not centered or even a character. Because the problem when we have those things is like when you have like a white character, it changes the dynamic of the character dynamics, the relationship dynamics, and like we unconsciously center them and kind of accommodate to them, kind of like how we are in real life. Like we always accommodate to the white person in the like the film, so we like in real life, so we always say, oh, like I'm eating so-and-so, I'll explain what this food is, or I'll explain what this is, and I'll explain that. Like, we don't need explanations for who we are. And I think this was like a film, because it excluded white people completely, we didn't have to do that. And that's something I want to see more of. Like, we don't need to give them any more space to exist in, you know, our spaces, is what I mean.
Yeah, we don't need to accommodate. And I do think that the success of this film specifically will no longer allow people to make the excuse that, you know, films that are all Asian casts or all POC casts can't sell, because look at how much money it made. Also, we need to put white people in here because they're known and we can't cast unknowns. Well, Henry Golding was an unknown. This is his first film. So that's a lie. Stop using that excuse. And the next time you do, we're going to call you out on it, because there's so much fucking evidence that you're wrong.
There was already evidence that they were wrong before this, but they just kept going, no, no, no. Like, only Scarlett Johansson can be a character in this film, because, like, no one else is going to give a shit about the Asian person in this film. Ugh, God, so annoying.
Yeah, they can fuck right off.
Yeah. It's just an excuse for racism, because they say that, oh, like, the larger American populace won't watch this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but are you gonna, like, try and push for more representation of minorities? Or are you going to say that, oh, I watched so-and-so film, you guys should watch it? Like, obviously you can't expect one person to topple such a huge systemic issue, but it's just excuses, you know? You just say, oh, I understand how you feel, but also I'm not gonna do anything about it.
And then with the whole, the next film that we're hearing about is a sequel to Joy Luck Club, which I know people have feelings about it, but it is super orientalist. Even though it does represent Asian women, it's a very specific kind of story. And like, do we really need to do a sequel to a thing? I think part of...
There's so many stories that aren't told. We barely have any films. Why do we have to rehash something?
We're in an area of narrative scarcity. If you want to make it better, then make it more diverse. Don't fall back on the same stories, because we can do better than that. We can improve upon things. And not everything has to be a rom-com.
I actually think this is like a better film for like women, though. Because you see women in positions of power. I guess the critique would be like, this is definitely more of like a matriarch type of film. There's no patriarch, which, for better or for worse,
mm-hmm.
But you see women in certain positions, but you don't see like the mom as just like being this evil caricature of like villainy. She has her reasons. You can obviously see, like, there's one scene where the grandmother is putting her like her ass on the chopping block, you know,
yeah.
Saying that you caused this to happen, and you can see that she's still under that pressure even then. So
yeah, we have sympathetic characters.
And then you see the single mom character in the film, which I feel like would resonate with a lot of, you know, Asian kids who just had one mom taking care, holding down the household. There's just so many like good representations of women. You could arguably say that the men had more diverse representation, but it was definitely a lot weaker. And the fact that you didn't really have like, I guess, the patriarch figure, the strong Asian male figure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying patriarch as in like, oh, we need some more, like, the women need to be more oppressed, not that, but
yeah, but like more positive and nuanced representation for men. Because like, as much as likable as like even the male characters were, they didn't have a lot of depth, really. We basically see them and they're part of the plot. And like, even Nick, the main Asian male lead, he doesn't have that much depth. He's almost there to push forward Rachel's story in a way, because he doesn't have flaws.
The Gary Stewart character, as you would say.
Yeah, he's not flawed.
I mean, it's better than being like bad, I guess.
But yeah, we can work on it.
I mean, the good thing about his character was that he was very earnest and genuine, and you could see he really cared about his girlfriend, which is something that we need to see more of, like Asian couples at the forefront.
Yes, yes. Because like, even though my personal situation is not at all remotely the same as this story, I felt like I could relate because that it was an Asian couple. And we don't really see that often. It's like, it's almost taboo to have Asians together. all in one place. Are there any final thoughts before we close?
I guess if you take anything away from this, I enjoyed it for what it was. I'm like the demographic for rom-com trash, so, you know. they're aiming for people like me, so yeah, they definitely roped in that audience. I feel like it has a lot to be left to be desired, you know. There's a lot of parts that's problematic. I don't think anyone pushing for, like, this is the worst movie ever, this is like the worst thing for Asians, like, it's, this is not the hill to die on. This is definitely not it. If you don't like the film for any of the aforementioned reasons, that's fine. It's valid that you feel like this could be a misrepresentation in any way. Yeah, that's my takeaway from it.
If you've been really against this film, but you haven't seen it yet, it might behoove you to see it just to see if it actually measures up to your standards. Because I surprised myself seeing this. My boyfriend surprised himself. Like, he was full of cognitive dissonance when we left the theater and we're having a conversation about this. He's like, I can't believe it.
It's not shit.
I wanted to hate it, but I like it. Yeah. At least not in the ways that we thought it would be.
Yeah, because like people were riding that hype train so hard. They're like, oh, this is going to be the best movie ever. And I'm like, oh my God, please don't.
It's like, I always side-eye that kind of thing. Because it's such blind promotion. Like, you haven't even seen it yet. Wait till you see it.
Like, it's the thing, this phenomenon of the hype where even if the movie, like, they watch it and it's bad afterwards, they'll still be, like, in denial. They're like, no, 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 it's still good. And then maybe after that hype dies down, they go, no, it was bad. Yeah, you know?
It was so good. And then deflect everything.
I was, like, really concerned about that aspect. Don't put your expectations, like, so high that it's going to shatter as soon as it hits the ground, you know? But I'm glad that it wasn't as bad as I thought it could have been, especially because, like, I guess V was talking about the book going, like, it's really bad. And I guess your boyfriend as well thought the same thing.
Yeah, the dialogue was really bad. I read some of it.
Yeah, I'm glad they translated book to film effectively because there's a lot of people who don't do a good job and it doesn't work. And I'm glad they translated it properly to film language.
Yeah, because I don't think if they went the satire route, as I said, that it definitely would not have come across. People would have just taken it at face value anyway, and we'd have a lot more problems. So I'm glad they did what they did. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not, you know, perfect, it's actually better than it could have been and was enjoyable. So yeah, thanks for listening to us unpack this movie, and we'll see you next week, hopefully with more people. Wen's been super busy, but V should be back at least. So we'll catch you next time. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at JTTW Podcast, and bye.